Well, I learned some very interesting things yesterday about the local area and farming in the area, and the very local area, as in the immediate field surrounding our property. I thought I'd boo about them because they're quite, I think, indicative of farming in the UK generally. And they follow really a very active battle by farmers in the 80s and the early 90s to try and resist the likes of Monsanto, who apparently camped out in the village and spent a good 3 years here trying to buy up land or influence farmers, persuade them to use their grain. I'm not going to get into a discussion about GM foods. I do think there's a place for some GM foods. I can't knock a crop that can grow in a country where starvation is rife and resist diseases. On the other hand, intensive farming in a country like the UK, let's just say it doesn't do us any justice, the amount of intensive farming we do compared to sustainable local farming. I'm very naive to the farming industry, it seems, in that I'm brand new to trying to learn about it, and a lot of my beliefs, or, well, I think I'm going to call them misconceptions, revolve around a rather idyllic view that one can be prone to developing living in the city and imagining everything in the countryside is a bed of roses. It seems it isn't. That should come as no surprise. I've been following the debate on this for years. I just kind of still led a train of denial thought in my brain. I'm looking across. There's one field, a brook, another field, and then another field, and that other field was last night a meadow, and this morning is turned earth. It seems that what's happened here is we have accidentally moved into a a local, not scandal, but tragedy to some extent. One of the smaller farmers has been forced off the land because he wasn't using it intensively enough. And because the way it works with the estate managers is if one of the bigger farmers can justify and sell and rear more cattle, then because of the regulations on cattle and the amount of grazing they're required to have, they basically kick the smaller farmer out and allow the bigger farmer to expand. So we're in the farmhouse of a smaller farmer who's now been forced to move on. Now, it's made more complicated by the fact that the smaller farmer appears to have lost out to his brother, who also runs a farm. It's a bigger farm, obviously. So I'm going to get to the bottom of that. I'd like to know a lot more about that because I am potentially a smaller farmer. Or at least I had an idea I might be. And I was looking into it. It's not something I've come across on a whim. My family have farmers in them. My uncle's a farmer, an ex-farmer. Well, he's still got land and he still does some sort of farming on fruit and veg farming. But my dad's an extremely keen gardener. And just generally, I was a gardener when I was 18 for 6 months for the local council, municipal gardens in Southport. Quite famous gardens, actually. Very nice indeed it was. Very enjoyable to work the land, so to speak. I know it's very different to commercial farming, but I'm just kind of saying that I'm not just kind of moved to the countryside and decided I might get involved in agriculture. I've been thinking about aquaponics for an awful long time, and aquaponics is what my plans involved. Aquaponics is simply growing usually salad leaves, or there's many other crops you can do too, tomatoes for example, on top of water that contains carp The carp keep the water clean and feed the plants. The plants feed the carp. It's a nice symbiotic system, sustainable, no added chemicals, and a scientifically proven way of producing food in a fairly concentrated space with no dodgy stuff going on. It's just food that's being produced healthily using scientific thought and process. Anyway, the point really, I'll stop now. I don't want to rabbit on about this. I'll keep booing about the subject. But the point is that there's a field gone, as far as poppy goes. It's miles away. I mean, I'll take a picture of it in a minute. You'll see how far away it is. But it's sad, and the more I've looked into it, the more I've learned that actually, it's likely to happen to the fields right on our right around our house. There's a tractor, muck spreading today. And it's likely because I believe corn is, soybeans rather, are a sought after crop, and corn too, still, not enough capacity, and so this field is being turned from grazing, or these fields are being turned from grazing into cropland. I've learned lots of interesting stuff about Monsanto, about Linda McCartney, who apparently, unbeknown to her, was the first person to bring dirty GM Monsanto soya to the UK. She basically started off with some good principles, I believe, of making sure that her soya was, 40% good, 60% crap. But the farmers that were producing that soya were then bought by Monsanto, without Linda McCartney's knowledge, I believe. And the crap element was reduced, was increased to 80%, 20% good in the final product. So Linda McCartney vegetarian products ended up being full of the worst GM-modified soya. At a time when she would probably be one of the people campaigning against GM. I thought that was interesting. I'm going to find out more about this. I really need to invite Christian documentally here for a weekend, and get him to come and walk around the local farms and neighbours with me, and have him hear their stories and interview them, because he's much more eloquent than me and much more concise than me when it comes to these things. Because there's a story here. There's a real story in this village, and I'm interested in it because it's looking to be a place I could spend the rest of my life. And I'm already caring about the kind of potential for it to fall foul of demand to be intensive. The lady I spoke to was the president of the farmers union around here for a long time. They're ex-farmers now. They're now the local undertakers. She and her husband farmed quite a large portion of land, but eventually, the costs that the supermarkets were paying them, sorry, the prices the supermarkets were paying them for their crops, the legislation that was requiring them to waste surplus, the fact that they spent, the local farmers around here, a good 4 years developing a nutritional biscuit, a tiny little biscuit. The idea was that it was the perfect piece of food for a chronically starved person to get their digestive system moving and enable them to eat normal food. Because what often happens when there's a famine is that the starvation becomes so long-term that people don't eat, and then lose the ability to digest and to swallow food and to eat. These biscuits, the idea was that they were going to get, all the farmers did them for free. It was their contribution as the farmers' union. They approached the government and they said, all scientific advice says these are the best things we should be sending out, rather than sending out crops that can be grown but not consumed. we need to get people started and we'll do it for free, it'll cost you nothing. And they had a series of rejections and a series of obstacles, bureaucratic obstacles, political obstacles and corporate obstacles placed in their way. And so it never happened. And the local farmers around here feel very bitter about that. They feel like they tried to do something for the world as a large farming union. And basically Whitehall stopped them. So there's another story. It's intriguing. It's absolutely intriguing, countryside politics. On a very small scale, one of my things is I'm developing an iPhone app for hyperlocal food and GPS, geolocation that will basically tell you when crops grown by small growers and large growers in your area are ready for purchase at the local farm shops or the local houses where people grow their food or, you know, wherever really, that hyperlocal, so, you know, your allotment. But the more I've looked into it, the more I've realised if I do this, if I get this right, then basically I really, really, really will piss off the local, I'm going to call them the Women's Institute, but I don't think that's who they are. They're just the farmers' wives who have been making home-produced food for years and giving it away to a stall on the market or a local shop for charity. So there's the dilemma. My proposal is for something that's much more far-reaching than just farmers' wives' cakes, but it steps on toes quite heavily because if I start asking farmers' wives to sell their local jam on my stall or provide me with local jam to sell on my stall, I'm immediately turning something that has traditionally been a local charity pastime into a business. Got to give some thought to that. It's just illustrative of the complications of a wide-eyed city boy moving to the countryside with all kinds of plans or little ideas. Anyway, that's the first in my farming updates. I was going to make a new account so that people who were interested in this sort of thing wouldn't have to listen to me randomly gibbering all the time, but sod it, you know, this is social media, isn't it? It's just my opinion and I'm just speaking, so it might as well come from the same account. Okay, I'm signing off. It's lovely and sunny. I'll take a picture of this field so you can see what I mean. They're just turning the earth now. And then I'll mow my lawns. See you later.